know when there's like haters, like, yeah, these guys ain't doing shit. You know what I'm saying? But like, there's always been like an like a certain amount of like, no matter
what, you guys don't do enough. You guys aren't real. You guys are lackadaisical. You guys are lazy type shit.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's like when you work day shift and night shift. Like, oh, day shift would always be like,
what the night shift doing? What a,
yeah, exactly.
They become your enemies, even though they're just your friends like 2 days ago.
Yeah, it's absolutely like, hey man, fuck the night shift. Those motherfuckers, they don't do anything. We show up, it's always fucked up, and night crew comes on. I'm like, my fucking day crew, they don't fucking do shit.
Somebody spills some coffee. Fucking day crew. It's like, yeah, it was just you right now.
Yeah, I'd be like, or like you leave, and the next day you show up, and there's a soda gun that you put in there for yourself. Like, I know those motherfuckers.
I'm gonna murder their kids. Family. Yes, 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 yes.
I love the. We both had this throw reaction. Yes. Because you're like, yes. I fucking it. And then you like,
think about that Coke. It's in your brain and you're coming in. Oh, I'm going to drink it with my motherfucking breakfast. That don't even go together, but I'm going to have it. And then.
Yeah, you're like, I don't even need a pack of soda. I left one extra. And y'all happy?
I got that one there. That's why my numbers are off, but that's okay. Because I think ahead.
Yeah.
Drink it. Okay.
It's the worst.
Welcome. The worst. To Redeeming Qualities, the podcast, not how men speak, but how friends speak. I'm here with Fez. I'm Mark. Let's do the shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm Fez, and let's do this shit.
So I went to work out today, right? I did a boxing workout, and we did a conditioning. And I will say, like, the beginning part, usually we just do this warm-up, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, it's jumping jacks and it's doing jump rope and it's just a fucking other shit that like, and usually I'm sweating and out of breath, but I got through today and I was just like, that was easy, bro. Like I felt the training, you know, whatever they call it, the training effect or whatever. I just felt myself get into shape today of like in some way where I can push myself harder. And then we did the conditioning shit and I was able to push myself through it and be like, that's not you. You're not done yet. And it just, oh, I can build on this. You know, this is enough. Like in the beginning, you're like a little bit afraid because you're like, have I made myself so weak that I'm going to maybe injure myself? So you kind of, mind is not letting you do it, you know what I'm saying? So I'm past that. I'm sturdy, and I'm also, like, got the breath right now. So it fucking feels great. And that's just badass. I just feel really good.
Yeah. That's like, so today I helped somebody, right after I got done with getting locked out of my vehicle, which is one of the worst fucking feelings in the
world. Awful.
It is, like, nothing, like, I'm in a small town and the one person that does it retired. We retired the one person that is like Cochise Lock and Safe.
That's not okay. You guys don't got no lock guy in the whole city.
Yeah. So I reached out to Facebook. So I actually called someone from Tucson and it's like, yeah, it's
40 minutes away.
Yeah. So anyways, the guy got here and did that, but I completely derailed the conversation. I don't know where I was going with that, but let's get back to what you're saying.
No.
That feeling of exceeding a milestone and like something that seemed hard before isn't necessarily easy, but it's like, yeah, I can do this. It's a wonderful feeling. So
it was solid. And I just overall, I'm like getting in a direction. I'm going in a direction and it's just like, okay, I can do the shit and I can push myself, and challenge and talk shit a little bit. It's like a little bit better. That shit, like, man, it feels great. Now if I just can stay stable enough to continue doing this on a sick path, but you know, something always changes in life. You gotta work longer hours or shifts change or something happens and that's okay. But it's just like, man,
That happens all the time. I think I was reading an article on like a bodybuilder's one time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this guy, like right before a competition, he gets sick and he loses 30 pounds.
Oh, goodness.
And that's all fucking like lean muscle. And
man.
So he goes to this competition and he fucking like, he leaves and he's like, I was so depressed. He's like, it was a year of working. He's like, it was the best thing. He's like, and they, like, I mean, you know, you're like 6'5", 400 pounds. Losing 30 pounds of muscle is not really that much in the grand scheme of things, but it's huge in these little competitions, like where every muscle counts. And it's just like, you know, we take for granted when we look at a lot of like top tier athletes, they go through these things too, man. And they, the fact that they recover so amazingly is amazing. Like, it's like, I can't imagine having a, like a debilitating injury and then coming back and playing professionally in any sport or any arena. It's so difficult for me to get back into the gym at my level after I get an injury.
I mean, okay, but also you don't have the top specialists in your field holding you, trying out new experimental methods of recovery also, but I am hearing what you're saying.
Yeah. Like, but I'm just saying, like, that wave happens. I think a lot of people don't, like, some people don't realize, like, you'll be going, moving forward, and then you have a setback, and that setback for some people is the end. They're like, nope, I've had the setback. I'll never get to where I was.
Right, right.
And that's a weird thing to think, because like you can always get back to where you were.
Yeah, I mean, think about, remember, did you watch that Tiger Woods movie?
No.
Oh my goodness, dude. There's parts where he like fucking fucks his, he got an injury. First off, he is an anomaly on so many things in that. I mean, that needs to be said. And it's like, he hurt himself. And then, like, he went and, like, trained and, like, trained his back and trained his legs in a way that you don't see anybody do. So he was just, like, a good, lean golfer. Then he comes back with, like, a swole-ass back and shoulders and legs. And he's able to crush the ball now in a whole nother way, to where his swing and what happens to the ball is different than anybody else's when he fucking drives. You know what I'm saying? Like, it goes, yeah. Most people, it goes, like, in a forward thing. No, his goes like straight and then shoots up for some weird ass reason, bro. It's crazy what he's doing.
You know, it's always funny in every single sport. Like there's always a thing where it's like, oh man, you got to be lean to do this sport. And, you know, and all of a sudden somebody like, I'm just going to train the muscles that help the most. And they come back like fucking ridiculously jacked and they dominate the sport. Like baseball was all lean people until a certain point, you know, and obviously that was steroids, but they were crushing fucking home runs. Basketball players are fucking like when I was a kid, basketball players were like thin dudes. Like Charles Barkley was like, and Shaq were like the anomalies. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now you look like fucking LeBron James. Everybody's, their arms are fucking huge.
Yeah. I remember that Last Dance, Michael Jordan talked about getting injured slightly and then coming back and training, and he had to pick up weight. He trained because he kept having to go against the Detroit Pistons, bro, and they were fucking him up. So they were throwing their bodies around because he was like 95, you know, 1995 Jordan, when he fucking still had hair and he's all skinny. Then you see him cut that hair off, bro, and go into the gym and come back with just like, you know, he thickened up just a little bit, bro. And it just like, now they're in the throw body, bro. It was, that shit was, man.
Yeah. And it's like, there's always this weird, like, hater syndrome that exists in society. It was like, well, that sport, you got to be, you know, you can be leaning. And then you look at like, you know, like these marathon runners, and they're like all fucking very thin. And like, then a couple dudes break out and they're fucking jacked. They look like normal people. They don't look like they've been, you know, living in a concentration camp for years. They look fucking. And it's just like, well, they're dominating the sport. It's like, how are they doing it? They're too heavy. And it's like, muscle is not a detriment to anything. Too much muscle. Talking, yeah.
Well, yeah. My friend was just talking to me about this dude. He's a fucking marathon runner. He is doing great times. He's my age now, so he thinks he's a little too old. I don't know what the fuck's gonna happen, but he's doing fucking competitive times, you know, and he runs constantly, and he's done several marathons now, and like, he knows all the right shoes you should have, and he fucking, you know, has whole playlists he sent me, blah blah blah. Okay, so he's a cross-country runner, you know what I'm saying, long form. Well, he was talking about running and training with some guys that do short shit, you know, 100 meter dash and things like that. Total different builds, total different mindset and total different focus on what they're trying to, on where they're applying their focus and their strength, you see? Yeah. So like whereas he is like, okay, it's about stride and how long I can keep this pace. Theirs is about like, I need to like explode at this place right here in this second to faster than this person. You know what I'm saying? Like my hand needs to drop down and my knee needs to be up because that is what makes me faster than that guy. Such a different thing. And so they both ran the same thing and it was like a mile or maybe 3 miles and it was uphill. And he was like, yeah, if it was flat, I would have beat him. But he was able to use his strength and use it, you know, the economic, you know, economic of strength, the economy of strength. He was able to use it at that short distance faster. And he ended up beating me because we were on a fucking hill and I fucking, you know what I'm saying? I used my strength differently. It was so interesting.
Yeah. Well, and you know, and here's the other thing too. It's, so at a, like a basic cellular level, like you got anaerobic and aerobic. And I'm fairly certain that some people, like within a sprint, they're not in a 100% anaerobic. Their body doesn't shut down like that. When they train to it for long enough, your body gets used to it. So you still produce energy a little bit more, much like same as a long distance runner. He's not winded after a continuous use of his body like that. So he's not building up the lactic acid and all that other craziness. So it's amazing how you can train your body to do one exact thing, and everybody can. They may not be the best at it. You might be like Olympic and your body not be made for it, but you can improve in one.
I wonder how much, like, if you are accidentally moderating how much oxygen you're getting to your blood, you know, by, you know, like you're like your fuel to air ratio or fuel to whatever ratio is like, you're doing the same type of thing as far as, you know, modifying what'll make you go farther, you know. I wonder about that.
Yeah. Well, and that was like, I watched this documentary on this like ultra marathoner, Dean Karnazes. Actually, it wasn't a documentary. It was Stan Lee's fucking like superhuman things. Like he would like have like these people who could do like crazy stuff. And
I remember that.
And they're like, okay, let's see how like his lactic acid after 10 miles. Let's see his lactic acid after 50 miles. Let's see. And it was like, he just didn't build lactic acid. And
is that something you can track?
Lactic acid? Yeah.
You can like just measure it.
You can absolutely measure it. And by the way, fucking
Danny, what's up, bro? Jesus, welcome. What's going on? I heard the little noise, and I heard your weird breathing that you do. No.
Wow. I got a breathing issue.
No, well, you don't. I just talking shit.
if I was to describe the breathing,
I'm just back here basement dwelling.
It's like a priest around fucking 10 altar boys. It was the type of breath you had.
You had to take it there.
That was so quick.
Yeah, all right.
Hi, guys. I'm Danny, the priest pervert, apparently.
We made it 15 minutes in before we fucking talked about molestation. I think we're doing pretty good, actually.
Let's beat our last record of 13 and a half minutes before we went to our molestation talk.
Yes.
So usually right around 7 minutes is... when we hit our stride.
Dude, I've been gone for a while. It feels good to be back.
Yeah. Where the fuck you been at? No, I was like, I didn't know whether to go aggression or soft. We happy to have you back, man. You know, it's great.
Yeah, so sorry about earlier. I, dude, fucking car keys and craziness. So, now that you're here, we want to get into the meat and potatoes of what we wanted to discuss this week of fucking movie things. Movie roles, race, all these things that just don't make sense in society. And like the first one I'll give is, so I have medical issues. I have kidney issues, I have liver issues, and I have general other issues. I have three different doctors and they are all Indian.
Okay.
But when I turn on the TV, I don't see Indian doctors. I see, you know, like these Indian actors portraying doctors. What I see is like white dude, George Clooney, whatever the Grey's Anatomy dudes are. It's weird because I want to see these like slumped shoulders, like, and all of my doctors are slightly out of shape. I got to throw that out there as well. Let's get past.
I feel like all doctors are, and then they're sitting there telling you like, you know, you should really look into your diet. You're like, dude, you're fat. Why would you tell me that?
Yeah, like I think Bert Kreischer and Tom Segura need to be, like that body shape need to be like the doctor body shape on an Indian dude. Like all the B actors in Bollywood need to be like American doctor actors.
Probably. That would make the most sense.
And then there's the other thing too we talked about was like the overhyping of certain professions. So I don't know if you guys had examples or like what you see in movies. You're like, ah, this is, that's totally wrong.
Oh, we talked about this. Okay. Yeah. You know,
welcome, Mark.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, oh, that was, we already, we just talked about this. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, I'll think about like, wait, overhyped or dramatized in any direction?
Honestly, Fez, I think you got to clear that up, not just for us, yeah, but for the listeners too.
What's the criteria?
I feel like we kind of just rolled into it because we texted about it. We know what we're talking about. But.
Well, I guess I'll look at, I guess what got me thinking about that was the doctors. That's what had me going like, why are none of the doctors I see on TV brown? They're like, occasionally you'll see an Asian doctor, which, by the way, Asians are killing
it. I think we got to get to what that is, though, Fez.
What's that?
It's my understanding what we're trying to do is find, like, roles that are played by actors in either, like, TV or movies where they're, like, completely glorified, but the reality is quite opposite, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, thank you for explaining.
In the good way or bad. Overdramatized in any direction.
Yeah, either direction.
Okay. All right. So you think doctors first. You're like, why are there no brown doctors on TV? That's your first. Okay. Mine is strippers, man. But also, like, I think, you know, first off, I'm not a stripper, so I don't know what the life is like. I mean, obviously, it's interesting. We always want to know about sex workers. But I don't want to change the whole conversation, but just like, you know, is it they're making a whole lot more money. Is their lifestyles always miserable? Is there always just a creep? Or is there just more happy strippers? Or are they all miserable?
This kid at work just told me this story about a stripper in Havelock, North Carolina, who is the owner calls it the house special. It's a 6'3", born a dude transition called Precious, and he said he's the most thirsty stripper that has ever occurred. It's like, oh, he's also the door greeter, and he'll offer a dance. Precious, I'll just say Precious will offer a dance or a blowjob.
You know why?
Right off the bat,
he's got a fucking man's work ethic, is why.
I bet she's killing it.
Sorry, that was incredibly offensive, but I had to.
She's like the Dirty Jobs dude of stripping.
Oh, that's funny.
sorry, but yeah, that I don't know. That story was told to me like 3 days ago, and I'm like, man, this is so weird. I'm talking about this, and that's a funny story. All right, go ahead. So you think strippers? You think? Sure.
I think it's glorified, and it's made to be too sad. I think the reality of it is something that maybe we don't know, or it's different than that. Because that's it. Like either they're making it a cautionary tale, or they're advertising it. Either way, you know, that's my thing. I have more to say about it, but I don't want to take away the whole segment. You know.
No, I can see that. I think we look. I don't want to say normies as like normal people who aren't in that world.
Yeah.
It's like painted that lifestyle is painted through that lens and not really of what's really happening. I agree with you.
Yeah.
What about you, Danny? What do you think? What's the movies or just movies in general, like tropes or anything that you see?
I mean, fuck. I don't know, off the top of my head. Like, I like where Mark was going with strippers, but I think, like, sex workers in general. Okay, hookers.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
You can watch one movie where a girl is a hooker, or maybe there's a dude version. Sorry to just use genders so freely in 2022. But, like, where somebody is a sex worker, it can either be, like, they were roped in there, forced to be drug addicted and all of this stuff, or they can make a film where like the hooker has all the power. You know what I mean? I feel like that's probably one of the things that I find that can go either way most easily. Does that make sense at all? What I'm saying? Like you can watch one hooker film and she's like, her life sucks and you feel bad for her the whole time because she's being shit on by the world. And then another one that it's like the hooker's using her hooking powers and she's taking over things. Powers.
Hooking power. Will I use these powers for good or for evil?
I would imagine to be good at it, you got to really just, you know, shine. So,
but do you really need to be good at it? I mean, honestly.
No. I don't think you do.
Okay. That's something we can say. All right.
Maybe you got to be good at marketing yourself. But like, I feel like when some, what do they call them? Joe? When a Joe walks in off the street, you know, pick you, like,
I believe it's a John.
A John. Damn.
When a Jebediah comes in.
Whenever one of these hookers is getting themselves an Ezekiel. You gotta.
Yeah. That's probably an excellent sex act somewhere in Ohio.
Yeah. Or Pennsylvania. Now, if you're good at it, you're probably gonna get some repeat business. You know what I mean?
I thought that, you know, I've always wondered why they call it a John. I always just assume it's like, yeah, it's a common name, but it is funny. Like, is it a John in like China? Like, there's not a lot of Johns in China or like in Africa. Like, what do they call a dude that, like, goes to, a prostitute in, like, South Africa?
They probably use whatever they call him over there.
A Patel. A Dev.
Well, I doubt they call him a John.
Yeah, probably not.
That's what I'm saying. I was like, what's the name for the dude that in all these other countries? Oh, sorry. That's sidebar. My bad.
Dude, in my hometown, it's Jurgen.
A Jurgen is who goes to these prostitutes?
I just made it up. I don't know. I'm just playing off of it.
And so I do think, okay, I want to finish the one character started the conversation, like lawyers too. You know, I think they make lawyers sound like they're either super sleazy, like, or super
or they're
corny.
Geniuses.
Or they're geniuses, yes. And it's like never.
Just no mediocre lawyer,
yeah,
movie.
Just the guy. Just,
yeah,
the guy.
I just went to work and gave him a job.
Typing up, he doesn't even go to court because he's able to fucking, he's able to do what he needs to do outside the courtroom most of the time, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It doesn't always go to trial. Like, it's not all dramatic. He's not making some big speech. And it was the tread of our triers, you know? Like, he's not always saying some shit like that.
Love fits.
Yeah. You must acquit. Yeah, I wish that he just kept rhyming. Stupid bitch. And that's why I got an itch. What if he just kept on rhyming? Yeah.
The lawyers, yeah. They don't show, like, somehow every lawyer knows every single law that has ever existed. They don't. Like in the movies, they know every law, and it's not like the reality was like, well, I got to look into this. I don't know what the actual, where you stand on this. And they have to like go study for like a week, and then they come back to you with like half an answer. Like, maybe this could happen.
Yeah. Well, like, to play off what you were saying with doctors, not just like the ethnic thing aside, but like when I think of doctors in the films, like those fucks are so dedicated to their job. Like, do you think the doctors that are getting paid, you know, $500,000 a year are going home and they're like, you know what? I really want to study this case.
Yeah.
I don't believe it. Like, what's the one with the doctor that's walking around on the cane and he's the grumpy guy?
House.
Like, you think some dude is just like walking around all the time? Like, I'm going to go investigate. And nope, you're like, no, I don't think people are out there doing that. Or just like every military person's portrayed like, do you know why we joined the military? Because we were broke, bitch. Like,
yeah,
for 90% of us. Like,
none of us try to figure out the mystery of that one bad day.
Yeah,
it's right? Not like the driving force of our career. Like, man, remember that one day and, you know, all this bad stuff happened and that person died. And it's like, that's going to haunt me forever. I need to know the answer. I need to find
it's
the
not
truth.
That.
You know, you're
it's
like,
not that.
You're like,
that was
that
just another day at work.
Sucked. Yeah, exactly. Why? Yeah. Like, lawyers have the one case. Cops have the case. The murder case I could never solve. It's like, well, maybe you were a dummy. I mean, you ever thought of the game?
Yeah. Maybe he was better.
Maybe there's other people better out there that could have figured it out. Or maybe a lot of these cases that get solved are just put onto somebody. And that's who you just couldn't find somebody to pin it on. And that's the sad truth.
Yeah. I think that's the crazy part. The amount of dedication to these jobs in film. It's like, now,
yeah,
you wouldn't go do all that extra. Like, you're not even on the clock.
Like the military dude that in the movie that's able to stand at the fucking position of attention or fucking, you know, like parade rest all fucking day. It's like, that dude is no one's that dedicated.
Yeah.
Like, every time I see him, I'm like, man, what is that guy thinking? Like, this fucking sucks. Like, that actor's like, I'm glad I never.
But the actual actors be doing that and thinking that that's what it is. They make them stand there forever. Or like, we'll be like, or just how make many, them be on set, you know?
How many actors do you think fall out in formation?
Dude, right?
No one's telling them drink water or don't lock your knees.
Yeah, don't lock your knees. Dude, honestly, when I think of, I legitimately, when I was on embassy, dude, like that's what it is. 8 hours of standing there at parade rest.
I was going to ask you. Legitimately what you did. Holy
like,
shit.
But you don't like the expect a person to be like to solidly, oh, you didn't get to move at all.
The only time you got to move was when you were letting somebody in. So like.
You'd be happy for somebody to walk up.
Oh, fuck yeah. Somebody shows that blue badge and you're just like, fuck yeah, I get to walk over to the button and press it. And you're doing like, you know, coming out of standing in one position, like all joints are all creaky and achy. You take advantage of it. But yeah, unless you were on the mid shift working out, you know, from 10 to 6 in the morning, whatever it was, unless you were on that shift, you were standing at parade rest the entire time.
God,
that
damn.
Sucks.
It was that's fucking terrible.
And people always want to go do it. That's right. That's the crazy part to me.
That's another one in embassy security or any kind of military.
Now that we're talking about it, let's just go ahead and think it out. What the hell?
Yeah. Kind of military thing where they show like, you know, the Marines in the blue. And it's like, yeah, to protect.
You know, not only are we thinking about it, that right? Shit.
Yeah, fuck yes. You know?
Yeah.
Okay. Telemarketing. They make telemarketing sound like it's like, okay, no, they do make it seem as shitty as it is, but it's actually like, time shittier. Like,
really?
It's worse doing than it they make is it. Way worse. It's worse than they make it, and they make it as bad as they could possibly make it on TV.
Can we dive into your telemarketing for a little bit?
Let's go ahead. What's up?
Okay. I have so many questions. As a person that like fucks with telemarketers, I'm mm-hmm. like, what were I mean, I'm assuming you were probably trying to sell different things.
Oh, what were the worst things that people said?
Yeah, what are some of the things?
Okay, just the other day, some dude was like, I was like, hey, man, my name is Mark. I'm from the Debt Relief Enrollment Center. You call a bunch of pre-approval for financial help? That's what I say to every fucking person. Okay. And some dude.
So they're calling you. You're not calling them.
So there's two things. You can call out, but here's the thing. They're running a dialer, right? So they're robocalling thousands and thousands of people a day, and then they have a recording that says, hey, you're approved for fucking $46,000, right? So then people call in like, what the fuck is this? I didn't fill out something.
They call.
Or they're like, most of them are like, what the fuck is this? You guys have called me 6 times a day? Or they're like, yeah, I am looking for that. Or like, I'm just trying to figure out what this is, you know? So it's one of the three. So I pick up one dude, and one dude just like, hey, Mark, yeah, I was just trying to figure out, do you believe Black people deserve rights?
Did somebody ask you that?
Yes, yesterday. And then I was like, well, I mean, what do you mean, the right to fuck your wife? And then I hung up.
Bada boom! Bada, yeah. Bada boom!
That at work?
Yeah, it was beautiful.
That backfired on that dude.
He tried to call back like 3 times. Yeah, you can tell because you'll see their number pop up, you know, again and again. Sometimes I'll be like, hello, and then just hang up on them again.
You should have just kept answering it. Like, if we got
and, but then there was this one lady that fucking, I guess she had gotten called several times and she was calling like all the people back. And then she got my number and she kept calling me back. And then she kept being like, nigger! Over and over
really?
Again. And so then I would be getting other calls and I would accidentally pick up hers. And I kept like hanging up as soon as she would, I would pick up and then hang up just so that she didn't get to say anything. But then she got hit to that and she kept calling and I would accidentally pick up. She'd be like, nah! She would do that, dude.
Just to mean
you. And I was like, hey, can we block this number? And it took them like 2 hours to do it because they just weren't paying attention. So I was like,
telemarketers
like
have to block numbers too. That's
wow.
Yes, bro.
The ones you block are blocking you back.
Yes.
What's the worst product that you've ever had to throw out? Or you're just like, I feel this is terrible.
Probably like, Facebook pages. So I was selling a Facebook page to a real estate marketers, you know, agents. So you're calling people, telling them that we could take over your Facebook page and post your listings. It's nothing. I mean, it's social media management technically, but also it's like Nothing. If you really get down to it, what the fuck is it? And it's not like they can call you at any time. Like real social media management, my girl does it right now. She's pretty much on call all the time, and she has to do so much more. What we were doing, I'm gonna just say it. We were automating. Like it was like you give us your, you connect us to your MLS, which is your like major listing thing, whatever. It's a fucking program that they have where all the listings of all the houses are out, and so you get. When you get a listing, it goes on your MLS, right? So you have all these houses that you're fucking trying to sell or that you have sold or people are trying to buy. And we would take the pictures from that, which are like a couple pictures of the outside, pictures of the inside of that. And we would automate those so that it became a video that would move. And we would post 3 times a day for you about that. Oh my God. Bullshit. And it was all automated, but it's just like we made it sound like with artificial intelligence, we put together a 3D slideshow for you that promans your listing. Look at this. And we would say, go to our website. You can look.
It was a PowerPoint.
It's bullshit. It's all bullshit. And then you get to the point where you're like, this is not even good. And then you have to go talk to the people around you.
So it's kind of like what the iPhone does now, like occasionally like, hey, this is your memories.
And yes, it was that. It was that.
Okay, so that's what you guys. And you're making people like for like a program that you could probably download for free.
Easily, yes.
Oh, man, that's crazy.
And then so eventually you figure out that, yo, I could do this. This is so easy. And it's like, what is our product, dude? And you start not believing in it. So you start asking people around you, hey, man, what is so all we're doing is this? And they're like, yeah, bro, we're selling sand. So then you don't believe in it. So you stop being able to sell it because the lady's on there like, I don't need this. And you know she doesn't need it. So then you go to the manager and you're like, hey, it just like kind of seems like, you know, this is like not that much. And then they do a mind fuck on you, like, because you're an idiot. You're a fucking idiot. And they turn you back around. They're like, no, man, it's not that. These people cannot do this. They're busy, man. These people don't even have the time of day, man. They barely have time to pick up the phone for you. So you got to tell them that we will do that for you. Turn back around and go sit down and start selling again. And that happens for months until you quit.
So what did you think of the gem?
I wanted to kill myself. I literally, that's why I like left the crib that I was in before and like started going on the road with my friend. I did moving for like 8 months after that just because I needed to clear my head from that. Like, and I moved out of my crib. I was like, I can't do this at all. Like, my brain. Yeah.
Do you think the shittiest part of that job was what you were doing or the reactions you were getting from what you were doing?
Literally talking on the phone all day. Like, I don't do it as heavy as it is, but like saying that, using your voice all day, especially wanting to do entertainment and just like saying something that someone else, the whole thing, bro. Saying something that someone else wants you to say all day to get a credit card out of somebody or any type of money is fucking insane. It's that. And then you start thinking about money. Then you start thinking about how money moves. You think about that everyone is selling and everyone's selling all the time. Everything we buy is something along these lines that we fucking have done that. I mean, it may not be a telemarketing, but a transaction is happening of some sort. It's just like you have the time to sit there and think that. Then you get cussed out like 3 times in a row. Someone calls you a nigger. Somebody says, fuck you. Don't call my phone. Stop calling my phone. Fuck you. I need to keep calling my phone. Get a real job. Your parents are disappointed in you. Fuck you. You're back. 10 times in a row, and you just, yo, this is nice. All nice day.
And then you go
lady.
Home.
Then you walk out and you say, hey, girl, you want to hang out? She's like, I think we should break up. Your girlfriend breaks up with you, and then you try out. You ain't got no gas in your car. You don't get paid for 3 days. You go and drive home. You try and swipe your card. It declines. You don't even get food. And you just walk into your house. No, it's not
that
like
that. Was so oddly specific of a night.
Yeah.
Bro, that has happened. Oh, then like you go and try and do stand up. I'm going to follow my dream because it's the reason I'm here. And you go on and you bomb. You bomb terribly. So these people in this room were like, we hate you. And so you just leave that and you just
Dude,
walk.
That's the comedy movie I want to watch. I want to watch the telemarketer. Like you just go through it and it's just terrible days. And then it's like a couple laughs is what redeems you. And it's not
you got to do some skits with that at least.
Oh, dude, that is so like you painted the of just fucking Ah, man, fuck my life over and over and over.
And then they're like, then there's pressure. Then they're like, hey, man, you haven't closed anything in like 3 weeks, dude. I don't know, man, to make it make sense because we're paying you for to sit here at this chair. You know, your seat's worth like this month. So you got to be closing them. So and then you close one. You start feeling like you're worthless. So then you close one and then you get these endorphins and then you're like, oh, I'm worth something, man. Yeah. And then they make you feel good in the room. Then they be like, yay, Mark is on the board. And everyone like claps for a second. And then
you go back. They're selling you to sell other people.
Wow. Dude, it's like the little star charts you would do for a toddler.
It is that. Yeah.
It's the same psychology. Like.
Oh, it's a board. There's a board with everyone's number up there. So there's a bitch at the top that's like sold 18 this month. And then there's you at the bottom with zero. Or you're not even on there. You know what I'm saying?
So if you don't get a sale, they don't even put your number.
You're nameless. So then the things you're saying in the room, you walk in and try and crack a joke and nobody laughs because you ain't made no money.
Because you're at zero.
You're at zero. So everyone's like, yeah, you're about to get fired, dude. You maybe shouldn't be cracking jokes. You should be calling. Oh, it's
where they correct you for just enjoying life.
Doc.
Dude, that's
this makes me feel bad.
You know, that's as far as it goes for movies. Yeah, I think you're right. They don't make it that bad. They kind of make it like a little bit gross. You're in like this area where it's like fluorescent lights, cubicles, and you know everybody's like miserable. But that's the whole like the motivation that they give you makes that job seem so much worse.
This is and the worst thing ever. I can't do it for like I'm quitting probably at the end of this month. I can't do it too much longer.
Wait,
I have to move.
You're
and
still
shit.
Doing it.
I'm doing it, dude, still right now.
What the fuck? My bad.
It's terrible.
Man.
It's not. Don't. It's shitty. I should not be doing it. I need to quit.
So, do they get mad at you if you're like, hey, you know, I know you're, you know, feeling terrible about this. Listen to the Redeeming Quality podcast. Would you get fined for like, or fired for that?
Wait, if I told people?
To all the telemarketing people.
Like all day, just be like, hey, I know this is tough, but listen to Redeeming Quality's podcast.
Oh, if I sent everyone a clip of my podcast, they probably would listen because everyone in there thinks I'm hilarious. They like because they hear me on the phone, like I'm loud, and then they hear me take L's or I improv, so they'll hear me. Because somebody will be like, "What did somebody say?" Somebody said like, "Hey, is this my boyfriend?" Because they like calling something, and I'm like, "I could be your boyfriend," and that's the type of shit, you know. Everybody's like, "Oh, Mark, man, you know, you're good for morale, man."
No, but I mean, like, what if from now on every angry person that you like start doing that with, you just tell them about the podcast, like an angry listener.
Yeah, that's fire. I mean, I could at least be changing the marketing towards myself.
Yeah.
You know, hey, listen, Redeeming Quality,
baby. Before you quit for the next month, you might as well.
I might as well. Hey, listen, Redeeming Quality is a podcast. I should. Yeah. Some people just hang out and talk on me because they like my voice. That happens. Like,
really?
People just be like, man, you sound cool, man. You sound good, dude. Or like a girl would be like, you sound good. You have a good voice. That happens like once a day, probably.
So
like,
there is
it's not just
qualities
us,
to your job.
Yeah, I'm gonna kill myself. I'm just wondering. but I'm not suicidal at all. But this shit is rough. It sucks. And I need to quit. It's not good for my mental health at all. I know they're fucked with me. I'm too smart to be like, so the dude's saying like, no, man, this. And then like, I'm like, either I'm going to keep arguing with you because you're just giving me a rebuttal to what I said, or I just turn around and like, go do the shit, whatever. Fuck it. Because your answers are retarded. You know what? Once I start thinking about it, I think about never going into the job again. And maybe I should, dude. Maybe I should just go look for work right now. This is what's in my brain. But I also am moving next month. So I have to like get that at least two more checks so that I can be decent enough to move out of this place. And that is life.
Damn. No, so I think we got that one down. Danny, you mentioned morbidly obese army chicks. It's something you never see in the movies. What do you mean by that?
I didn't say that I didn't. I said I watched a movie recently and there was like just a really big army chick in it. And I was like, huh. Looking at it, I was like, that's weird. Why would they cast somebody that's really big? And then I was like, wait a minute. That's actually probably one of the most accurate representations I've seen. Not everybody in the military is like all thin and fit and like looks like. Have you guys seen the new Top Gun?
No, I've heard great things.
Oh, It's good. I've seen it twice. I haven't seen the old Top Gun. Are you serious? That's right. Yeah. I forgot. Yeah. You were like, oh,
guys, I started writing the script for the TV show about our unit, and I'm fucking. It's like cathartic. It's the best thing that's happened to me creatively in a while. But a past music stand up is good, but like think in Top Gun, I need to go see it. But just like that, this I'm not trying to go super deep into this. I want to talk to you guys offline, but I just am super excited, and I need to talk to you guys more about things so that I can get better details.
I need to know who's gonna play me.
Yeah, who's gonna play me?
So who, Jason Momoa for you, okay? And I got Chris Pratt for you, okay?
Yes, I love
you
it
because you guys are that hot. You know, really. Wow.
And get Dwight from Office for fucking Marty.
Or how? Oh, yes, yeah. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
That's actually fire.
He'd
actually be a very good representation of him too.
He would crush it, but like obviously these roles are these roles. But yeah, man. I mean, it's very fun to write, and it does make me be like, because also that whole like idea of like the way that. What it can be. I mean, we've already seen these movies, like, you know what I'm saying, MASH and shit like that, shows, but just like, oh man, I'm gonna have fun. This is like what I'm able to do.
Yeah. Oh, it's funny you say that.
I always feel like military, like in movies, is way too fucking serious. Like the movie Waiting, with like Ryan Reynolds and all those guys, where like they're like showing each other their balls and shit. That's more like the military. That's more accurate representation of what the military is than like like Jarhead and all these other things where it's like you like all these like serious moments. I'm like, that shit's fucking depression. There's I'm so much set up fucking these laughs.
Things on there where like well, explains funny. Oh, go ahead, like, go ahead.
Sorry, but I find it funny that like when I think like Top Gun for me was one like I was using it because there's one scene where they're on the beach and everybody's got like this rock hard chiseled fucking six pack abs, you know, and it's like they're just aviators, you know, like how many aviators do you know that look like that? But when you think about all of the stuff you see in the movie, I was like, man, it really made me think about all of the times that you had. Maybe it's just I don't have friends anymore, but like you were always doing something. And if you wanted to go out and do something, you had like 40 people to ask. Like if I was like, hey, Mark, you want to go do this weekend? And you're like, nah, man, not really. Then you could ask so many other people. Like,
you're walking to go do stuff. Something and someone's like, what the fuck you doing, man?
Yeah, you know? And they just tag along.
I'm not doing shit. And now you're going somewhere.
Yeah.
You know? So you're always laughing, always doing something, everything. Yes. And then you get to the real world and it's like, I go
alone as fuck. Yeah. You try and call somebody, no one picks up. I guess I'll beat my meat again.
Yeah. Yeah, that like you would start off in like one place and your day never even imagined. Like, you know, in like North Carolina, it's like, all right, I'm here. Like, I'm like, I'm going to go to the PX. Like, hey, what are you doing tonight? It's like, we're going to Savannah, Georgia. It's like, you want to go? It's like, yeah, why not?
Yeah.
And it was like always fucking like such a random. And people were always. That's the thing, too. Like, no one, especially because I got kids and stuff now. But no one's like, hey, you guys want to come here? It's like never happens anymore.
I imagine that I'm not married. Right. But I imagine, you know, trying to have married friends is very hit or miss.
Because not only is like the wife, you got to get the kids, and sometimes they're like
there's so many chances people, it could go wrong.
Yeah, we know people who we like their, you know, the parents and like
the kids are shit. Oh no.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Or terrible. You got the one parent that you both like, the other one you're like, wow, that one's fucking dumb,
she's
like
awful.
How does he deal
then
with
they get
it?
A divorce and you're happy, but they gotta go through the sad part. Jesus. Damn, yeah, bro.
It's like before it was like a one-to-one relationship. Do I like this person or do I not? I don't like hanging around with this person, so I'm not going to. Now it's like a web of, some of the kids like each other, but the oldest two, they fucking hate each other. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then the kids grow apart and start hating each other. Dude, and you're like, oh, we're not going to hang out because you can't keep your shit together.
Yeah.
Look at here, you little shit. Your mom and dad don't have any fucking friends, so you're gonna make friends with that little shit, okay? You're just like, we need to get the fuck out of the house. No.
Yeah, I know he murders squirrels. Fucking get a knife.
You get along, motherfucker. Each one teach one. No, that's terrible.
Yeah. That's
there's a lot more moving parts to a line.
Yeah. Or you just go, I'll hang out with this. I know you don't like them, so that'll be like, you know what I'm saying?
Once a month, every once in a while. Yeah.
I think you guys are the only people I've actually had any conversations with in like a really long time. On the phone, at least, like, other than coworkers. Like, I've been, it's been a lot easier to talk with you guys than, like, almost anybody else. So I feel like it's actually enjoyable. And then I also feel like I have this expectation that when I talk to other people, it's supposed to be easy and fun. Like, Fez with his priest jokes. I'm in, like, Seattle area now, and you can't, like, everybody's so sensitive about everything. It's just a fucking huge relief to come in here and talk shit and not have somebody think you're a bad person just because you said something shitty. Oh,
well, I have that happen at work all the time.
Yo, yesterday I did a comedy show, right, at this art gallery. Okay, cool. And, like, there was a row of Armenians.
I like how he talks to himself.
There was a row of Armenians in the front. And, like, it was very tough to keep their attention. I did what I could. And they went into this little back place, and they were back there smoking. And so then there was, like, a couple girl comedians that got up after me, and they're kind of, like, a little bit liberal, kind of. Not super, but just, like, a white girl that, like, may judge you. And I, like, am drinking, and I'm, like, feeling myself after they just were like, you were funny, and, like, yeah, we were just having fun. And I come out, and then I'm, like, walking, and the girl just like, good set. And I'm like, yeah, I just fucked all those chicks in there. But I was joking, and then her face got super serious. I'm just like,
oh, man.
Obviously, you just saw me do stand-up. What is that?
I am a superhero, and I can be in all places at once, and I choose to do stand-up comedy while fucking all these chicks at once.
I was just saying, that's not even that good of a joke. It's like, you didn't, it's silly. The guy beside her laughed, but she just like, and then she did the thing where you take your fingers and you rub one finger, like tisk tisk type thing. She did that.
Really?
Yes.
People do that, like, with the finger on top.
I haven't seen that
one
in years. Yes, she did that, dude. And I'm like, I'm walking away. This is the end of this.
Meanwhile, I don't know if you know this. I've been trying to figure out, like, trying to remember how that goes. I've been waggling one finger for like the last 10 seconds since you said that.
Just waggling one?
No, like, not in my house, like, with Tumbo. That's that. No, I'm talking about like one finger pointing, and then you take the other one and rub it down
and
the other one.
Rub it down
like,
towards the nail of the other a couple times.
Oh my God, like little kids do.
Yes.
What?
That's what I mean.
It's a tisk sign.
I was thinking the one finger, like, no.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I think with the tisk. What?
Yes.
The fuck?
Maybe she was just hitting you with her type of comedy.
Maybe that was her joke. And then I was like, okay. And that's how all the interactions are. That's how every interaction is in the comedy scene. Like, you don't know if that person's like acting offensive or playing, or she's joking, or you've put them in an awkward place, or they're putting you back in an awkward place. You know?
Yeah, like, there's too much shit to think about all
once
the time.
If you get enough interaction with something, you'll know, with someone that's super funny, you'll know, oh, that's how you are.
Yeah.
Oh, you just want to make me uncomfortable.
So I was speaking of like liberal comics, I was watching Bill Burr's new special with like where he introduced a lot of people.
Yeah.
Michelle Wolf, he's a good joke writer, but my God, her fucking voice. I can't do it. Like every time she talked, it was like nails on a chalkboard to me. Mm. Her voice is tough to listen to. Not her jokes. The actual wave length and frequency and pitch of her voice is hard to hear. That's tough.
Interesting. I didn't even watch that yet, but I'm sure it's fire because he has fucking greatness around him.
Yeah, no. And like her jokes were well written and they were funny jokes, but it's like listening to them while somebody's like scratching a knife on a plate. It was just like cringing my ears. And not what she was saying. It was just literally her voice.
I don't really know who that is.
I don't know.
She got red hair.
Okay, well, she roasted the fuck out of Trump. Remember that lady that they did the Trump thing? They did the like Trump kind of roast, and she came and just crushed him. Just kept going and going to the point where they were like, "Fuck this bitch!" A borderline. No, okay, yeah. You don't remember. But that was really what made her name. They like let her in. They let sometimes when they I don't even know why they put comedians, these super roast, heavy ass comedians in these rooms with these people. These people are not ready for this, dude. Here comes this guy that does this for a living. He's about to tear you to shreds and you just have to sit there and smile.
Yeah, dude. I don't know how those people who are like getting roasted and the people who go on the roast can deal with it. Like the things they say are so fucking mean. I'd be like, nope. If everyone was like, hey, you want to be part of a roast? My answer is like, nope.
It's in love, I guess.
Yeah, I get that. But
the greatest part is like 80% of it's all true.
Yes, that's the worst part.
Like, that's the part that's gotta hurt.
I think they did the Paul Mooney. It was either Richard Pryor or Paul Mooney back in the day. And that lineup was insane, dude. It's Richard Pryor, Paul Mooney, John Witherspoon, Robin fucking Williams. Like all of these people and their jokes are like they're being themselves. They're laughing. They're being friends. And like everyone calls Paul Mooney gay. It's so funny. Like everyone says it. It's just beastly.
That would be tough. Being in a roast would just be like absolutely fucking terrible.
There's this comedian that's crushing it. Okay, go ahead.
So I thought about this. I saw a post from DJ Khaled. And I was like, oh my God. He was like, I think he's like dribbling a basketball or something. He's just like standing somewhere. And he's like, yeah, nobody believed in us. Good dude. Like just annoying, right? And I was sitting there thinking, when I first saw that, I was like, dude, he has got to be the most annoying. Like, I like his music and stuff. I have nothing against the guy. But whenever he posts something on social media of any sort, I'm like, he has the most annoying posts I've ever, like, seen. And then, like, 2 days after I had that thought, Kevin Hart made a little spoof. I actually sent it to Mark. Of the same thing, and it made me laugh because I was like, wow, he's clearly everybody else thinks it's dumb too. Like if you got Kevin Hart out here making a video making fun of him, who is that person for you that you find like you may like the person and what they do, but you find their presence like socially really annoying? It doesn't have to necessarily be like social media, like, you know, celebrities in general. Matthew McConaughey coming up to talk about things or whatever you want.
There's so many people. I hate so many people. and some of them are comedians that I just don't want to name right now. They're up and coming. But there's a lot of people I hate and dislike. So I'm going to sound like a huge hater.
I think I'll go broad strokes, but I'll go ahead and say anybody that's like gives you like these fucking the world's vaguest advice. Like, man, you just got to go out there and fucking achieve every day, and that's your way to success. Or anybody
the millionaire that mindset bullshit.
So the Gary V's.
Yeah, the Gary V's. The Gary V's of the world. Where, you know, go grind. Go do this. What are you doing still? Buy my shit, and then I'll show you how to fucking be successful. Or just any, like, motivation. It's like, I'm not on this for you to motivate me. I'm not staring at a fucking
cynical people
minus
hate motivated ones.
Yeah,
okay,
I did send you that fucking post. Like, it was like, what did it say? It says, inside every cynical person, there is a disappointed idealist.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, that's me. I am a very cynical person, but yes, absolutely. I don't understand. Like, people are carrying this fucking phone to distract them from doing anything. And you're like, hey, go do this.
I am with you there. Like the annoying thing, but I just can't talk shit about, like, I made 30 grand off of Gary Vee, so I don't want to really bash him all that much.
Well, you made 30 grand off of an NFT.
Yeah, his that was NFT a Gary project.
Well, yeah, but that was because there was somebody sillier than you that's like, I'll pay more.
Okay, that's your thought of it.
He had to create the project. He had to market it. He had to do all the things. He made the conference for it. Like, nobody would have bought it if it didn't have any perceived value, and he made that value perceived.
So that's pretty cool. That's cool. That's a cool thing. I'm not even trying to get into how NFTs work. He is annoying. Someone tried to send me a video today of like an evaluation of where you are as a man. I want to see this. I want to I need to look at this, dude.
Yes.
Like I roasted the fuck out of him.
Let's answer it together. I want to see.
No, it's a whole, it's a 2 hour long video, which I didn't even know until I clicked it. First of all, it says rank yourself as a man, what to do if you're behind in life, capital must watch. And I was like, this is bad for you. I can tell. And I was like, this content will make you a beta dude. If you believe in that. And then he was like, it's not, man, scroll to the middle. And so then I scrolled to the middle just to like humor him. Right. And it was Kevin Samuels being like, those dudes got girls because they got girls. If you want girls, you're going to have to work harder. Now accept that. And I'm like, dude.
Yes, that's the type of the exact like where it's just like, pure drivel.
And I asked him, I said, dude, do you not evaluate? I was like, why do you need somebody to do this for you, G? What are you? I'm leaving the gym. I'm pushing myself. I just push myself to exhaustion. So that's me living on my edge. Where are you at that you don't feel like that? Is life not? And he was like, he says this to me. He says, well, sometimes you just need a swift kick in the ass to get you going, you know, and that'll let you know where you are in life and if you're a competent adult. What? Is life not doing that for you every day?
Let's get to the actual nitty gritty to this. When have you ever needed a kick in the ass to get something accomplished? Like, specifically. Hey, you know, I'm sitting here at work, like, oh, fuck this. Let's go kick this person right in the ass. Like a literal version.
But also motivation gets you started. But after that, regardless, you have to keep yourself going. And it's not going to be that initial push of motivation. Like exactly. At the end of the day, that shit, if you keep watching that shit every single day, that person being like, you got to push Arnold Schwarzenegger every morning. You got to wake up because life is that's going to work like in the beginning of it. And you're going to get going. But after a while, that shit stops. You still have to go beyond that shit, you know. And so like that's not motivation, that's just straight up like and now I sound like I'm talking of motivation. No. Now well, I sound like
so you know what's great is like that exists in like psychology, and it boggles my mind. I don't know if I've talked about this before, but electroshock therapy exists, right? Mm-hmm. And they do it for like addiction and suicide, and it's like they're like, yeah, it's effective. I'm like, of course torture is effective. We know torture. Like, if someone's going to keep electrocuting you when you do something wrong, it's how we train fucking dogs. It's not like you change the mindset of the person. You just make a deterrent so strong. And, like, people are always like, well, you know, like, it's, like, crazy to me. Like,
now I don't smoke cigarettes anymore because I swinge every time I think
right. And people are like,
they actually singe that part of my brain.
Yeah. It's like, every time I... Every
cigarettes.
Time I,
do you want a cigarette? A little bit.
And like science is like, yeah, this is it's surprisingly effective. Surprisingly effective. How is torture surprisingly effective? It is what it is. It's effective in that regards. So yeah, I'm always blown away by like fucking people like talk about motivations and different stuff. Like, oh, you can do electroshock therapy. Like, yeah, I don't want to get tortured.
It's really crazy because like it's as if like psychologists are talking as if they are very elevated and above, you know, they understand the mind, and then they use literally barbaric tactics.
Yes.
Right.
So you're like, we understand the mind and we don't need to use this. Okay.
Well, that kind of goes back to what Fez was talking about. Electric.
Yeah.
When you were talking about like doctors or just like continuing or like a lot of research for that matter is just like you're reading old dated studies and then somebody else makes a new study published off an old one. And then that becomes the one that everybody like, I feel like that goes on in psychology all the time. Like it wasn't even that long ago since people thought like, you know, there was different portions in a black person's brain that made them servient, you know, like. That was only, 200 years ago where they had that thought. And then here we are, like, we're way better. And like Fez is saying, we're just shocking brains now. And we're like, hey, this shit works.
So that's the part of the conversation that I didn't want to go into at that point. But just like the way that we treat other people for what professions that they do. I don't know if this happens where you guys live, but in LA, someone says, hey, what's your name? Hi. And then the second thing is, what do you do? Right? Which is connected with like, how should I treat you? You know what I'm saying? And mm-hmm. By no means am I not saying that people that go to school, develop skills and get a skill, acquire a skill are not valuable to society, because we do need people to fucking like keep water from not just coming into the streets or like the trash and all these type of things. Engineers are very valuable and doctors are. I am. But like overall, like the way that you talk to somebody and or greet them and all those type of things, I just believe you should be giving everybody, you know, at least human respect, you know. And so when we talk about sex workers or we talk about the trash man and things like that, I think we kind of treat them a little bit like, well, that's not fucking really a, you know, a job, you know.
Not telemarketing
or roaches. And it's, I'm one of them right now. That.
I actually got so irritated by that question. Like, I noticed, like, when you're in the city, that's like, that's the first thing you get asked. Like, down in Seattle, somebody like, oh, what do you do? And I, like, got so tired of hearing it because it's exactly what you say. It's just to see where to put you. You know, like, how do I treat this person? Like, they do this, I'll treat them this way. Or to size them up. Like, is this friendship going to be valuable to me? Like, I'm friends with a janitor. I'm friends with a doctor. You perceive, like, the doctor friendship to be more valuable. I started responding to that question with just random, like, when somebody asked me what I do, I was like, oh, I just paint little toys. And they're like, for a living? I'm like, oh no, that's what I do for fun. You know, and I usually don't answer the question of my profession ever. Because I feel like, or I'll just immediately call, it depends on the person, but sometimes I'll just call them out to their face. I'm like, oh, I just barely make over six figures.
Yeah.
And then they're like, what? And I'm like, well, that's why you're asking me what I do. Nobody cares that, like, I'm an electrician. Like, people think I go and wire shit up. Half the day I spend just putting boxes in a wall, you know, or bending a pipe. And people are like, what do you do? Like, you don't care what I fucking do.
You want to know how much money I make. That's exactly. I guess that's really the question. If you want to, like, boil it down, how much money do you make? How important should I rate you to society?
But respond to somebody that asks you that with your salary, and they act like all surprised. And I'm like, why? In my mind, like, when you see that surprise, it's like, why are you surprised? You literally just asked me what I do for a living.
So I think you got to just make it like the worst conceivable way to say what you do. Like for me, it'd be like, I destroy liberation armies in third world countries.
I bomb them from the safety of somewhere else.
I make children fear the sky.
I'm the reason people run when they hear noises.
It's like, part of that's truth. I'm pretty sure every single job has that. Like I don't know, Mark, what would your worst way to describe telemarketing?
I would say I am a pest. I'm vermin. I'm vermin, and we should be exterminated.
I am telephonic vermin.
Gee, it's people disgusting. Like... I know it is. And like, well, first off, the other thing is, like, you're calling back in, so that's the whole thing. But then some people are like, can you please stop calling me, dude? Like, you know, and then I say a smart-ass answer, I didn't even call you. The machine called you.
This is the other thing too. How is it impossible in this day and age to just ignore something? Like, people are unable to ignore. Oh, that post. That's
people
cannot ignore.
They call your phone
in the first place.
The call comes. I mean, you can, how many times do you have to decline? And also, like, the fact that you may be waiting on a call or looking to talk to somebody, or your phone isn't ringing at all day. And then the only reason it's called is because of six telemarketer calls. That's punishing. That's terrible, dude. That's awful.
I guess I don't get that much telemarket. Maybe I get
one. And I'm mean.
Every other day.
I feel bad. Huh. If I heard Mark's voice, I'd probably be nice.
Should be mean, bro. You should be making them quit, bro. Make them do something else.
I feel like I'm doing them a service.
Dude,
you know what I mean?
Crush them, bro.
The fact that they're like, the fact that they're.
Some people don't
have
most
a recording
of them don't have any souls.
Going off.
Yes, so that's evil.
That's the part that's the fucked. Real motivation. Instead of like, hey, go out there and seize what you want. Make somebody so miserable they decide to change their life.
Yes.
Yeah, I can do that.
And that's the electroshock therapy to the...
Can we talk about one other thing that I was thinking about this week?
One more thing. Oh. The first one of the offices that I went to, it was all drug people. People that, like, were all addicted to heroin or, like... And they were going and recruiting out of the fucking rehab, okay? So these people's motivations and morals and ethic code was completely gone, right? So when someone would say something like, hey, my grandma just died or my husband just died, these people, that did not... register to them because they didn't care, because they would call their mom and be like, mom, I'm really about to be homeless. Can I get another $50 for just, and then their mom would send it and then they would go do heroin. These are the people that were selling. You know, now I'm not saying I've moved.
Not that you're judging anybody.
No, fuck that. These were bad people, dude. I'm saying I've heard people, like someone give an excuse of, hey, I really can't do anything. And then they still hammer them, dude. And it's just like, yo, like I am our lady that's fucking 80, 85, that just wants to talk to somebody because her kids haven't talked to them. And you close that person. I need to stop doing this, bro. And the other day, somebody was like 79, same age as my grandma. And they were like, you could close that person. And I'm like, I'm not closing this person that could die before. And we're still taking money out of their account. Is that okay with everyone here? And then people were like, I mean, they could get like there was a little bit of like pushback. And I looked like an asshole for not closing that person. Fuck everybody, dude. It just I'm done. And you go ahead now, bro. I'm sorry.
Hold on, I got Danny. I forgot what I was gonna say.
No. I remember this one.
Oh, okay.
I just thought it was funny. Mark's really really not liking his job. At least it seems like it.
Yeah, it's time
just,
to quit.
Just a little. 10,000. No, my question was what I found weird was like people's shift, like war in Ukraine, not to go there again, but like I noticed that the same people that were like, oh, we shouldn't do this or we shouldn't do that or we should do this, or like for example with the school shooting, which is fucking terrible, like the same people that are like, oh, we need to do this and do that, are now the people that are like, well, we should be going to war to help Ukraine. I feel like that part of me that like
that idea just came to you on your own, not last podcast.
Was it on last podcast?
Yeah, I said that to Mark.
Oh, never mind. Fuck it.
But I love it.
No, I saw some post recently by someone and I was like, wait, you're the same person like always talking about peace, equality and world everything.
The reason I noticed that is the same person. Like it was weird because like I had a friend, like I said, it was a professor, and he's like, punch Nazis, this, and all this terrible stuff. And it's like, he's on Facebook again. Let's see what he's saying. And it literally was that. It was.
Yeah.
It's weird that, and I don't even think it's their idea. What I think it is it's group mentality. Like, I don't think liberal or Republican is a free thinking. Like, if you adhere to one of those values, like, you know, I hate the donkey or I hate the elephant or I hate blue, I hate red. Mm. You're not free thinking. You're waiting for somebody to tell you how you should feel about something.
I agree.
And as soon as Tucker Carlson fucking diarrheas into your mouth and you're like, yum, yum, this little piggy's happy now. Now I can go spit this at the rest of my friends or people who still talk to me. That's what happens.
Or people who still talk to me. Because if you're listening to Tucker Carlson, you have no friends.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's be honest.
God, he's
so fucking annoying.
And same for like fucking Anderson. Okay, his fucking face, and just be like, you fucking look so serious and professional, and I know you just fucking whatever they tell you shit to fucking spew. Mouth. And yeah. You're going to fucking pretend like you care and it's your fucking moral obligation to care about this. Exactly. You're fucking the worst of the worst. Yeah. You're fucking disgusting. That's, you know what? Journalists. Those are the fucking people that are so misrepresented. Like, beyond telemarketers, right? Like, Mark's talked about how shitty journalists are just like fucking vermin of this society. There's no need to fucking enter. There's no.
Well, I mean, not all of them. Like all telemarketers are pretty shitty, but no, like there's some good journalists.
I would.
What about National Geographic?
I did though. But it's cool.
I would say get away from.
I'm gonna take the stairs. Sorry, guys. I'm going downstairs to let my roommate out, so that's why you may not be able to hear me. Sorry about that.
Oh, you're good, man.
Good.
But so. I think, like, just like telemarketers, the organization has a nefarious God, what's the word for what they do?
Occupation?
Yeah, they have a nefarious occupation. We know what it is. They're just trying to swindle you out of money. I feel like journalism is the same thing. The individual people are not bad people. Yeah, but they have a job that's inherently bad. I don't think journalists are inherently bad, right? The people who become journalists, I feel like they have this view based on movies. Like, I'm going to be this plucky journalist and I'm going to crack down on some fucking mafia boss and the city's going to be better because I'm a journalist. And it's not that.
Yeah, they go into it thinking they're going to save Gotham.
Exactly. And it's not that. Your job is not that. Your job is fucking a wing of Gotham's criminal underground to fucking keep doing their work and keep misinforming.
What is their job, honestly, these days? Because wasn't it before? It was like you go out there and you were like, you're recording. I don't think you're always reporting, but facts, right? Like things that are actually happening to you. And then it seems like now it goes back and Peter Parker's boss is sitting there and he's like, nope, change the entire story. This doesn't fit what we want. So I feel like
J. Jonah Jameson is, yes, correct.
Yeah. I feel like being a journalist can you hear me? Is like being
yeah, we got you.
A telemarketer, probably.
Mark, so that's what I was saying. I think you're off in journalism and you're like, I'm coming to tell the story. You know what I'm saying? The truth. Not with no, you know, some people. I'm not going to bias and not be leaning in any way. And like non-bias. Like we saw so many non-bias like news stations pick a side hard because one thing happened that they said was, you know, inexcusable. I can't be with those guys now. And if you're with those guys, you're disgusting, you know? And I see it. I peep it. And then so then you hear people online, you know, you're talking to some chick and she's hot. And then she's just like, first off, I follow some Reddit groups and they're like, if you're fucking, we need to stop giving pussy to libertarian and Republican men in just general. No one needs to be fucking them anymore. It's just like, do you think you're the only pussies, bitch? Is that what you think?
Yeah.
You're the only ones worth it?
You think? Yeah. In general.
Dude,
and also to think that you're sex, to think that someone's really idea, first off, the only thing that you have to give me and also that you can overall change what I'm thinking off of just giving me sex or not. I mean, there's a lot of weak motherfuckers that would change. But, okay, babe, I'll vote any way you want. Yeah, there's dudes that'd be like that.
The same people that are like, hey, no aborting, a life's a life, that are sending us to war to go kill other people's kids. They're holding all the power against us, man. I think the whole running the world.
I think there's a lot going on where. How do I want to phrase this? I think women have been told a lot of times that, you know, pussy is the most powerful thing in the world. It's okay, you know what I'm saying? Like no one's ever like. I'm like, you know, whenever you ask somebody, it's like, hey, what's your hobby? Like, you're like, oh, I like to paint this thing. It's like, you know, it's like, I like to do this. No one's like, fucking's my hobby. It's the best thing ever.
I mean, there are, depending on what rapper you listen to.
It's a very, just like, for example, you know, eating is a very enjoyable part of life. It's not like, I live to fucking eat. Or it's not like shitting. I enjoy shitting. But it's not like, man, my day it's the best. Having sex is like that. That's what it is. It's just a little piece. The relationship is a beautiful thing. I'm not saying like your relationship is like as nothing like eating or, you know, pooping or like anything like that. All I'm saying is there's this weird thing where it's like, man, dudes just need to fuck and they'll just do anything to fuck. It's like, it's great, but it's not like the sole purpose in life. I don't think
Young
guys.
I think it depends on the age.
Young dudes, absolutely.
It depends on the age you're at.
The point at 30, I'll give up some pussy for an argument.
What?
Fuck that. Yeah, I'll be like, yo, this pleasure is just like we're right at a point of sex and we could have sex, but we're about to get in an argument and I can either let this slide just so that we can fuck because we haven't fucked in almost 2 weeks, or I can stand my ground. Oh,
well, it's like I'll say this too. Young guys, on the most part, they don't know how to close. They don't know how to, you know what I'm saying? They like, it's a rarity. They're fucking starving. That whole eating analogy, or they're fucking, they got a shit really bad and there's no toilet around. They're desperate. That's what it is. It's a desperation.
Anyway.
Yeah, exactly. But once you're not that desperate for it, it's not like, oh man, I'm gonna make a poor decision just
but,
for
but also pussy. But also okay, yeah, as you get older though, also you had more pussy, you had more pussy in your life, so you know the whole process of it, but also you're not like I need to fuck like that's not in your
I don't know what it feels like.
You're like getting to know it.
But that's what I'm trying to say is like there's a weird like there's like the compulsiveness of the fucking male brain is like unstoppable in the face of pussy. Like, ah, I see a pussy, I need to fuck right now, blah, and I'm done. It's like, no, it's not that. It's never been that.
But that
women think that.
The man that you're talking about right now is not even he doesn't even talk. Right, he's just is doing what he needs to do. So he's not in the front saying the dumbass things that pisses everybody off. You see what I'm saying? He's not the one that's he's not in the forefront of it all. It's the young bro. It's the young black and white dude and Hispanic young 20 to 25 dude that's pissed the fuck
the
off.
The guy that they goes realize, and buys a Jeep truck.
A Jeep truck, fucking Jeep is on Fortnite, fucking whatever.
It's on Fortnite with his Jeep truck.
Yeah, bro,
I'm sorry, I throw that in every conversation. I fucking hate the Jeep truck.
I'm not a fan of it.
The Jeep Wrangler. It's a great vehicle. The Jeep truck is a fucking mullet on
Oh, that's
I saw somebody with an extended one yesterday. An extended one, and it had two wheels.
It's a long mullet. Part. It's a Billy Ray Cyrus mullet.
Yeah, have you seen a Billy Ray
Cyrus? It looks like a mullet.
When they're like actually
mullet.
Done up, though? Because I saw one. I had the same opinion as you. I was like, those things are so fucking up. Like the old Comanches, like when they first came out, they were pretty sweet. The new ones, I was like, they're fucking ugly. But I've seen, like, I'm in the Pacific Northwest where I think everybody thinks they're like some kind of outdoor enthusiast, like Bear Grylls.
Jesus.
So you have tons of them all decked out. I've actually seen a couple that are like, what do you call them? Overland type vehicles where it's like, they look like they're ready to go live in the woods for a month.
I hate those people. They're like, I need 3 jacks on the outside of my Jeep and 15 gas tanks.
What if you have 4 blowouts at once?
Yeah, I need 11 tires. I'm like, well, the math doesn't even make sense. Why 11?
It's
why
the
not 33 12?
Gallons of water that sits in a plastic container on the side of the truck for a month. That does it for me.
That's it. Yeah. Like,
and what that's doing to your gas mileage, that doing to everything about your ride? It already is a shitty car that drives you. It's already like wiggling as fuck. Well,
and I bet you they're $100,000.
Jesus.
It's probably overpriced, fucking ineffective with gas, but makes your dick look big.
Have you ever been like thinking, okay, I'm a douche for this, but this is just a douchey thought that I've had, but have you ever been like being like, how you gonna say yes so early?
Because you're gonna give us a douchey thought, which you haven't thought
about.
Sophia's
thought it.
Yes, which you know I've been there.
So I was like, man, I think I'm gonna be an outdoorsy guy, man. I think I'm about to give me a fucking 4Runner, man. I'm gonna give me these things. I'm gonna start camping, dude. I'm gonna get all the stuff, dude. I'm gonna get it, dude. I'm gonna be that guy, bro. Have you ever like thought about like and then picture yourself and you're like got a fucking a skull tattoo and some fucking Oakleys?
I get lost at the fucking hiking boots. But I just don't understand hiking boots. I don't. It's like, when do I need to purchase a hiking boot? Like, when is that going to be my, like, if I get into that lifestyle, I don't want to go into like a Columbia store and go, those are some good looking hiking boots.
Yo,
Hiking trail with like your kids and you got the people that are like walking past with backpacks and walking sticks and you got like your toddler that's walking on the same trail as them. I think there's people that go way overboard, but I'm also like, I am an outdoor, like I do like camping and hiking and whatnot, but I don't get a chub for hiking boots. And I think the only time I actually wear them, like if I go hunting and I'm going to go up into like high rocky.
But I'm talking about being a poser. I'm talking about being a poser.
You just want the look.
Yeah.
The
consumer.
You want a couple Patagonia stickers on the back.
That's
window.
What I'm talking about. Like, man, I'm going to look like the guy.
With the marathon patch.
I want
all your destinations.
I want a puffy sweater vest while I'm wearing a short sleeve t-shirt.
Especially like the Dutch ones. Have you guys heard of Fajal Raven?
Yeah.
Bro, I got a fanny pack for them. It's probably Fall Raven, whatever. But it's got a J after the F. But,
yes, it does.
But obviously that's some Dutch shit or whatever.
Wait, how do you say that then?
I think it's from like Norway or
it's Norway. It is. It's Norway.
Is that like a fjord? I'm like, probably, I know what a J looks like. A
Fajor.
But their shit is it's high. Nice, it's like, it's nice as fuck. Whatever the, I mean, it's like Patagonia, like competitor. Their shit is clean as fuck. And it's like, got that, like, what's the colors of it? I don't know what to call those colors, but they're like, they got sick ass colorways. And I'm like, is this fashion? Is this? But it's not, man. It's for utility.
No, not if you're in Seattle. You go around, you be the talk of the town. Come up there with that Fajal Raven.
Like, dude, that shit, that's a good brand, bro. I went in there the other day because I was my girl was getting a goddamn fanny pack. But they had sick at the shoes they had. The pants were sick as fuck. I'm like, yo, the damn they, and it wasn't, it's expensive, but I honestly think Patagonia would be more expensive.
You guys trade fanny packs? I don't know why. I just randomly had that thought. Like when I was younger, me and my brother would share each other's shoes and shit. You guys share fanny packs and shit?
No.
So you, to share a fanny pack, one would have to own a fanny pack.
He does.
No, I. You asked me if I traded fanny packs.
Oh, sorry. I was talking specifically to Mark because he was like, she went to go buy a fanny pack. Mark, when he came out here, was fanny packing. And I got to say, he could pull it off.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But, see, I've got, I don't mind the man satchel.
See, I'm fanny pack. I just can't, like, I don't know.
I rock it like a man satchel. I put it across my... I put it across my chest. That's what
that,
I do.
That's what I, that, yeah, that to me makes sense. Like the fact that somehow having a I have a backpack all the time.
Right.
I look like people are like, oh, you like a boot. You wear a backpack. I'm like, fuck yeah, I'm like a boot. I can store so much shit in here and I can't even put fucking anything.
You're not even
in
allowed to use your cargo
pockets.
Pocket.
I can't put anything in these stupid cargo pockets.
I got
so
these
of course
big ass pockets I can't use. Of course I got a backpack.
Yeah. Of course I have a backpack. You want to go ahead and do the outro?
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to another episode of the Redeeming Qualities Podcast. Not how men speak, but how friends speak. Peace.
All right. Peace. And for Mark, he just cut out. Peace.